So firstly, I would like to welcome and to say how a great pleasure we had to welcome NATO's Secretary General, Anders Fogh Rasmussen. I think you know, and we spoke about the importance for Luxembourg of being a founding member of NATO and the capacity, even if we have a small army, to participate in NATO's missions for many years. We are also very proud to host NATO's support and procurement agency in Kapellen with over 1,100 people working there for. We had, I have to admit, a very fruitful meeting and honest, where we were able to have a good exchange and also to exchange information about the next summit in Wales, in Newport, where there will take place. We for sure have spoken about Ukraine situation, and we have one thing in common on that point, what is that Ukrainian has to be able to decide, and there is no other who has the right to decide for them. I also explained to the Secretary General that Luxembourg's position is always that was, is, and will stay that we don't want confrontation, and we still hope that diplomacy and that Geneva will have a good result and that we will be able to have a de-escalation and not escalation. And on the other hand, it's clear that we cannot accept a violation of international law, and that it's why I think also that the catalogue that the EU decided to have was the right step, not to close every door. So I really want to thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for your visit to Luxembourg and being able to have that fruitful meeting and this exchange about actual topics with you. Tack.
Excellent, Scandinavian. Thank you very much, Prime Minister, for those kind words. It is indeed a great pleasure to be back in Luxembourg and to meet you. Luxembourg has been a steadfast member of NATO since the start. You contribute to our missions in Kosovo and Afghanistan. You have provided vital funding to the Afghan security forces. You support our project to develop cutting-edge military capabilities such as surveillance drones and to share vital capabilities such as maritime patrol aircraft. So, Prime Minister, I thank you for all Luxembourg has done for NATO. As we prepare for our Wales summit in September, we have to ensure that we continue to invest in our security. Every ally has a part to play in this effort. NATO keeps us all secure, and we must all continue investing to keep NATO strong. We must invest financially in strong and capable forces, and we must invest politically in building strong and effective partnerships around the world. Russia's aggression against Ukraine shows that we cannot simply take our security for granted. I'm deeply concerned by the increasing tension in eastern Ukraine, the continuing violence committed by pro-Russian separatists. I call on Russia to de-escalate the crisis, pull back its troops from Ukraine's border, and play a constructive role in the search for a solution. NATO's focus is on our fundamental purpose, to protect our allies and deter against any threat. We have already taken steps to bolster our defenses, and we are preparing to take further steps to ensure our security in the air, at sea, and on land. These are measures which we can put in place quickly and sustainably. The solidarity of the alliance is unbreakable. Every ally contributes to it. And Prime Minister, I know I can count on your support as we prepare for the tasks ahead.
Yes. And for the Prime Minister, can you give us a sense of Luxembourg's approach to a possible third stage of sanctions, in particular financial sanctions? Where would you stand on that?
On military supplies, it's a national decision. As you know, military equipment is possessed by individual nations, by individual allies, and not by NATO. So NATO is not engaged in that. So that's based on bilateral agreements between Ukraine and individual allies.
Your question about the third step, I think we are still in the second step for the moment. I have no elements who would tell me that we should directly proceed to the third steps. Nothing should be excluded. We should be able to discuss about everything in the third steps, but as I told you, I hope that Geneva will be a success. I don't want now to do speculations about what the sanctions should be next week. I hope that next week we will be able to have this escalation. As Secretary General and myself said, we hope that the third step, we have to prepare it, but I hope that we won't need to realize it.
What proof can you give us that Russia is behind the latest uprising in eastern Ukraine, or just eastern people that live in eastern Ukraine that Russia sympathizes, that are hoping that Russia gets involved, or do you have proof that they're fomenting?
As a matter of principle, we never comment on intelligence, but I think facts on the ground speak for themselves, and we call on Russia to distance itself from the violent actions of pro-Russian separatists. Russia hasn't done that yet. It would actually contribute to a de-escalation of the situation if Russia would condemn such violent actions and distance itself from those actions.
Measures that are expected to be announced tomorrow, the reassurance measures, will that include substantial numbers of ground troops being sent to East European countries, do you believe? And how do you think that all countries are going to be involved in these measures? Will they talk about rotations that are going to be announced tomorrow? Thanks.
I won't today comment on decisions that might possibly be taken tomorrow, but as you know, when foreign ministers met at the beginning of this month, they tasked our military authorities to present recommendations as to how we could further strengthen our collective defense. We have received such recommendations, and I would expect the Council to take decisions. But I would also add to this, some suggested measures can be implemented immediately Others will need further consideration and could be decided on at a later stage, also taking into account the evolving situation.